Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with a very relaxed Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
All right, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 64-30 win against Southern Boone. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, to put up 60 plus points back-to-back weeks on the same team. What were some of the things that you noticed on film?
Well, we started off throwing the ball so effectively. You know, Tyler was really throwing the ball effectively. Our run game then kind of accelerated off of it. I thought we had a very good game plan going in. I thought we came out and started fast. The biggest thing for me was what we did defensively. They had two kind of scores later in the game, but we really took their offense away in the first half. And a team like that, if you can hold them 7 points in one half, as explosive as they are, I thought that was extremely important for our game plan.
Right. I think one of the things we also talked about after the game is just when you can get that opportunity to get the ball and score early, we could tell it was going to be a different story somewhat from the previous week where you're playing catch-up for like the first 24, 25 minutes. Now the rules were reversed this time around.
It was. That was kind of our hope for our game plan. We wanted to go in. We wanted to get a fast start. We felt like if we got in front, we could dictate the tempo of the game. They still threw their chaos in there. They got their chaos going on the offensive side. But it wasn't as effective because really once we were up 21-0, we knew their run game was going to be very educated. You know, they weren't going to run a lot. They were going to try to throw it more. Allowed us to really concentrate on coverages and release packages of trying to get them in a position to make a mistake.
And this week's opponent, Moberly, what can you tell me you've seen from them on film?
Physical. Very physical football team. Hard nose, play hard. They're on both sides of the ball. They're a very physical running team on the defensive side of the ball. They bring a lot of freaking physicality to the defensive side. Really formidable, good opponent.
And I was going to say, if you take a look at Blair Oaks' non-conference teams that they've played, this is the Moberly team is one that they've played almost as often as anyone else. You know, haven't played them since 2015. I believe they played them. You all played them regularly your first time around here. Blair Oaks, what do you remember from those games 2 decades ago?
Physical. Mm-hmm. Physical. Downhill running team that they're going to bring it. And then back then, we were a downhill running team, and it was a very physical football game. That was one of those when you came out, you knew you'd played football. Both teams probably had to recover for a couple days after those.
What do you see as being some keys to come away with another district championship?
I think us being aggressive. You know, going into this game knowing, hey, you know, 2 years ago, and our seniors talked about this last week after we won, this is the game that we stumbled. And I think this sits in a lot of their bad space in their mind that this is a game that hurt us 2 years ago. And I think that pain has came out this week. I think the big key for us is come out and be aggressive and try to match their physicality and not let them push us around.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, could I interest you in a third matchup between Blair Oaks and Southern Boone this season?
You know, I mean, I'd watch it. I don't know if they want. I don't know if Southern Boone wants it so much. But yeah, that was a different look from the first game. Southern Boone won the coin toss, deferred to the second half, kicked off to Blair Oaks to start the game, and Blair Oaks scored in 61 seconds.
Right.
And the thing that confused me a little bit about that is you want to kick off to a team that scored 62 points 2 weeks. I think it was a 62-28 final.
Yes, it was.
And you, like, to me, I don't know why you'd want to kick off to them and give them a chance to get going, because I thought why Southern Boone kept Blair Oaks at bay as long as they did in the regular season matchup was that they scored first and forced Blair Oaks to play catch-up.
Right.
And instead, now you gave them the opportunity to score first.
Well,
they did.
To be fair, it didn't work the first time, so try something different the second time. That's it.
And Blair Oaks scored the first 21 points. I believe it was 28-7 at half, and, you know, they just – Southern Boone just never got within arm's length. The running game, again, struggled. I think they had 28 carries for 21 net yards.
Wow.
So, I mean, my goodness, Blair Oaks' run defense. We'll probably talk about the run defense again here in a few minutes.
Sure.
But Forced Southern Boone to throw the ball a lot. I believe A.J. Evans attempted 42 passes, so I needed your stat sheet for that game, as it turns out, because the one I have only has up to 30 pass attempts. And just didn't complete enough passes.
Right.
Didn't complete enough deep balls. Again, they did get some touchdowns. They scored four times against Blair Oaks. Problem is, they let Blair Oaks score, let's see, 9 touchdowns. And,
right.
And it's, you know, if you're going to win a shootout, you're going to score 70 if you're going to win right. a game like that.
Yeah, so again, they gave up 62 to the Falcons the first time around. They gave up 64 this time. It was a 64-30 win. So they're moving on to the district championship game. And we talked about it, yeah. During the season at a couple different points, and we're going to talk about it again. But it's kind of been a murderer's row of teams in this district. But when it all shakes out, yeah. You're the number one seed. Blair Oaks gets the number two seed, Moberly. So, Blair Oaks is going to host tonight at the Falcon Athletics Complex. It's, a 9-1 Blair Oaks team versus a 9-2 Moberly team. And, again, I feel like this is going to be – we got plenty to talk about. It's a very intriguing matchup.
I was going to say, depending on what happens in this game, I'd almost like to see Moberly and Southern Boone. To me, that seems like it would be a heck of a game. But moving on to the matchup that actually will happen, you get two very different types of teams. I mean,
right.
If you look at Moberly, they're not in shootouts.
Right.
There are times when they will score a lot of points, but they're not in shootouts because they only allow 14, I believe it was 14 points per game, which is actually lower than what Blair Oaks' defense allows. The most points they've allowed in a single game this year was in Week 9 when they gave up 34 points to Jefferson City. Blair Oaks has scored 30 or more points in every game this year. They're averaging 54.5 points. Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Something cannot go according to script in this game.
And again, I think you dive into these numbers a little bit and you go, okay, the most amount of points that Moberly has scored all year long is 44.
Yeah.
Blair Oaks has gone over 44 8 times this year.
Yeah.
So you look at it and go, your best is not going to be good enough unless your defense really arrives. And again, their defense has arrived in a lot of games.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it against, a very, very good Hannibal team. Yes, they lost 28-8, but they only gave up 28. When that team scored 28 on a lot more people than they haven't. And the biggest outlier they've had in terms of points allowed was 34 to Jeff City.
Yeah.
And that was the final game of the regular season. They lost that one 34-7. So you go, yes, they have not given up big score totals. The other, outside of those two games, we're looking at 19-6, 14, 0, 0, 10, 28. So that's the thing that you look at and go, okay, yes, their defense has been very good this year.
Mm-hmm.
They will find out tonight how good they actually are.
And I'll be curious to see if Moberly sticks to the script again. Hey, stop me if you've heard this before. We're going to see a wing tee offense, Tony.
What?
We
don't ever talk about
this. Moberly rushed for 439 yards last week against Centralia, which to me, I'm sorry, I don't care what year it is. Centralia is always good.
Right.
So to do that against Centralia is impressive. I meant to look it up before I came up here, but I think Blair Oaks has only allowed like 650, 700 yards rushing all year long.
Right, right.
So and they only give up 2 yards per carry. Like I said, I mean, they only gave up 21 yards rushing against the Boone, so they had to throw the ball like crazy because they weren't going to run well.
Right, right.
And on top of what makes me lean towards Blair Oaks' run defense winning this matchup is Brady Dapkus is, again, he's probably the. It's a battle between him and Dakota Truce for the most impressive skill position player in offense in the Tri-County Conference. And they kept him in check in both games in the running department. So if Blair Oaks' defense is forcing them to go away from their strength, I don't know what's going to happen with Moberly. I mean, Moberly, I think the key what Moberly has to do is there's going to be some negative yardage plays. But you've got to get that big play. Like, if you take a look, I think they averaged more than 12 yards per carry against Centralia. They rushed for 439 yards, but it was just on 35 attempts.
Okay.
I mean, I don't... Again, I think what works against them is Blair Oaks is so used to seeing a wing tee defense. What's going to set this one apart? So the matchup tonight is going to be the Moberly offensive line against the Blair Oaks defensive line.
Right.
Who's going to win that battle? And I have to lean toward Blair Oaks defensive line because they're that good. And so many of them are all-conference, all-district, all-state type players.
It is funny, and again, we laugh about it because it is funny, but the standpoint is a lot of coaches in this day and age run the wing tee because they're like, oh, it'll give us an edge because we'll be unique,
yeah.
And teams won't see it, except for Blair Oaks sees it all the time, where you go, your uniqueness is shot. I don't care what your wrinkles are inside of the wing tee. They've seen enough of those teams that they've seen all the wrinkles that you can wrinkle. So what wrinkle can you come up with tonight that will make this with this wing tee unique? I guess the one thing that might be different is if, yes, you mentioned it, if your line can be better than the other lines that have been running the wing tee, then maybe you have a shot.
And I would argue Moberly probably of all the wing tee offenses, and well, man, because that's the thing, you got Maryville and Lutheran North, but I think Moberly has a better offensive line than what they've seen from Osage, what they've seen from Elder.
Sure.
And I think that's what's going to really set this one apart. I mean, Moberly's got some big guys, they've got some great pulling guards. And it's going to be, can you throw a wrinkle yet that Blair Oaks hasn't seen? I mean, we've seen Maryville have to throw the ball a lot more.
Right.
We've seen, you know, Lutheran North had a pretty good balance. It's just going to be, what are you going to do differently, or what are you going to excel at that is going to put Blair Oaks behind the eight ball? And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if they've seen a defense quite like what Blair Oaks is going to be able to throw them in. I mean, to show how good their defense is, the all-conference list for the Tri-County Conference came out this week. All 11 Blair Oaks defensive starters made the all-conference team. Tony, they could literally put 11 guys out there on the field and say they're all-conference players.
Right. So I guess then you have to say, okay, then we have to do something super-duper abnormal that nobody's been able to do this year is slow down the Blair Oaks offense.
Exactly.
So what is the likelihood of that happening?
I mean, what you have to hope for is that they have an off-game passing, which, okay, so 3 weeks ago in week 9, you know, Tyler Bex didn't have the best passing game. You know, he kind of struggled to throw the ball. He threw an early interception, which I think kind of got in his head a little bit. He did get some nice completions, but it was nowhere near his best passing game.
Right.
So that was one of the things Coach LePage wanted to emphasize when they played Southern Boone again in the rematch was, yes, we know we can run the ball, but let's get him a good passing performance. He didn't really need to throw much. I think he only completed 7 of 11 passes because, again, the run offense is just that good. So I think that's what's going to be the interesting thing is you've got to force turnovers. I think we've come into this podcast every week. What do you have to do to beat Blair Oaks? What do you have to do? And at this point, the only thing I think of is you have to force them to get turnovers.
Right.
You have to force them to punt 4 or 5 times a game, which I'd have to look at what the max number of times they punt a game.
Yeah.
I bet you it's 3 or 4 tops, no more than that. So you have to get empty possessions because as we've seen, Blair Oaks can, in games Blair Oaks has played, they can get 14, 15 possessions in a 48-minute game, which is outrageous.
Right.
And they found ways to score 9 touchdowns in each of the past 2 weeks. So that's, you have to get empty possessions.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can beat Blair Oaks.
You know, and I think that's one of those things that you talk about, you got to turn them over. Well, that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
And it's easier to do if they are throwing it a lot, because then you think, okay, maybe we get a pick here or there,
yeah,
or we can cause some disruption. But I think one thing that we don't talk a lot about in terms of just, we always marvel at the numbers that the Falcons are able to put up in terms of their run production, in terms of the sheer yardage. But I think their ball security lends itself to the fact that's an underappreciated part of their game, where you look at it and you just go, I don't, you know, they don't do that. They don't put the ball on the ground. You're talking about guys who not only run hard and run well and run fast and run for a large yardage, but they do it while, you know, not putting the ball on the turf, which is a big factor. And if you're not going to be able to force them to throw a lot and intercept some passes, you're going to have to try to put a hat on a ball and make it pop loose. And if the Falcons don't do that, then you've got no chance.
I mean, the most recent game that sticks out to me where turnovers were by far the issue was 2 years ago in the district championship game against Mexico. And again, if Dylan Hare doesn't get hurt in that game, I'm still wondering if maybe Mexico still wins that game, because what hurt Blair Oaks was they turned it over on each of their first two possessions and fell behind 14-0.
Yep.
And I think even after he got hurt and left the game, they had made a couple more. I mean, they probably had 4 or 5 turnovers in that game.
Right.
So, again, if you're Moberly, I'd go back and watch something like that. What do we do? Do we force them? I mean, do we disguise our coverage? Like, what do we have to do? Because, as you said, it is hard to get them to fumble. I mean, Moberly's got some great defensive players, as we talked about. I mean, they hold teams well below average. They do find a way to get takeaways. But this is one of those games where you almost have to know what you're going to do, and then you have to almost execute that to perfection, yeah, and then get a little luck on top of that to contend with Blur Oaks.
Asking for quite a lot.
Yeah.
So the other question that we always, or you know, is always key at this time of year is just, okay, if we always discuss these things almost in a vacuum, where it's like we're dealing with, okay, if there are no weather concerns that cause things to be weird, and if there's no, you know, if everybody comes in full strength, we always kind of talk about them like that's the case.
Yeah.
So the big thing is then, are they coming in full strength, and do they have their full complement of guys going into this game?
I mean, they're still missing, you know, a few players on the offensive line, offensive and defensive line. But again, it's typical Blair Oaks. Like, one of them is Caden Schulte, who got hurt in the Hallsville game week 8. He has not returned yet, but that coincided with just Natnip being healthy enough to return. Okay. So that was almost kind of like a trading out, like a guy who was a backup and had been starting for the guy who was originally the starter that he came in for. You know, again, defensive line, you know, Carson Lubring is still out with that knee injury, and Aiden Luckett has had to come in here and there. And a lot of times they've kind of gone with like a 3-man line, and they'll bring up like a Jace Rackers from linebacker if they need a fourth lineman. But, you know, I was going to say that was one of the keys in the Southern Boone game was putting them behind the eight ball. And then that way you can use your defense to kind of dictate what they do, because they knew Southern Boone was going to have to throw the ball to get back in the game. So they're like, fine, we're going to blitz and we're going to focus on our secondary coverage, and we don't need to worry about them running between tackles because they're not going to.
Right.
That's what you, if you're Blair Oaks, that's almost kind of what you need to do, is you need to find a way to get out to a 7-0 or 14-0 lead and just then force Moberly to do what it does best, or maybe go away from what it does best, and they're going to have to throw the ball, and because they're going to have to get back into the game quickly. I think the other key to this game is going to be, what will Moberly do? Will Moberly try to grind out possessions? Because one of the games I remember watching earlier in the year was Moberly Osage in week 2, and Moberly won that one 21-14. And in that game, there was a lot of possessions where Moberly held onto the ball for a long period of time. Maybe that's also going to be their best offense, is grinding out a 13-14 play drive that takes up 5 to 6 minutes,
yeah,
and gets them a touchdown. Because as we saw last week, Blair Oaks jumped out to a 21-0 lead, and then Southern Boone held onto the ball for 6 minutes and scored. So really, that's probably going to be Moberly's best chance to keeping in this game, is grinding out drives, and you have to end every single one of those with a touchdown.
All right, I guess it gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, which team wins a district title tonight?
I mean, I think it's Blair Oaks. The question, the hard part is picking the score, because you don't know. With Moberly's defense, you know, it's just so hard to tell what's going to give, right, and how much. So right. I'm going to say Blair Oaks wins this one. I'll throw out a score of, let's say, 42-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley, saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N-05. Thanks for listening.